Down to business on News Talk.
Sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas. Wherever you are.
Now I'm down here in the lovely Scraggan in Tullamore for the 2017 Ploughing Championships. And as well as I'm going to be spending the day out of Dublin, the most beautifully rural part of the country. I'm delighted to be joined by a special panel of guests. And we're going to discuss where rural Ireland is at and some of the issues still facing the people living outside Ireland's big cities. Delighted to be joined by Mullen Garman. He's a Fianna Fáil TD, Robert Troy. Louise Lennon is the Policy and Communications Officer at Irish Rural Link. And Owen Lowry is Agribusiness Editor of the Farmers Journal. You're all very welcome. A rather equine-looking Robert Troy joins us here. You're strolling around the ploughing, Robert. You're very welcome to the programme. This is your heartland.
Bobby, thanks very much for having me on. It's great to be here and it's great to have the ploughing championships here in the Midlands again. Although it'd be great, even better to have it in Longford Westmeath, but to have it just across the borders is good. It's a real boost to the local economy. Even I was in Mullingar, the Greville Arms Hotel last night, and the number of people that were streaming into it at 9 and 10 o'clock ordering food. So it's a real boost to the local economy. And while we have to acknowledge the economy is improving, it's not improving to the same extent in rural Ireland. And I think there's challenges there that we have to meet head on.
Right, well, let's look at it. And let's look at, maybe we could maybe break down some of those challenges. If we, and you know, people are kind of tired of hearing about this two-tiered economy, both people in rural Ireland and indeed people inside the M50. But what is it, in your opinion, that divides the two economies, Robert?
I suppose naturally when the economy is going to start improving, it's going to start improving where the critical mass is, and it started in Dublin and it's beginning to roll out. But I suppose we need to see greater supports for the rural economies, and businesses in rural areas find it an awful lot more competitive and find it harder to compete because they don't have the critical mass of people to serve. So I think, you know, when you look at issues, say even small things like commercial rates, that's an issue that is controlled by the government. And that's an issue that is one of the largest overheads in many of our businesses today. Yet still, 12 months ago, they started the revaluation process. And as a consequence of that, there's many businesses across Longford, Westmeath, who were one of the first areas to compete in or take part in this revaluation process. And there's businesses there that saw their rates increase by anything up to 400%.
But on that, Robert, should we not be sort of saying, look, we're not having any rates in small. If a town is under a certain population, we're abolishing rates. Like, surely we need to be thinking of kind of, you know, more radical sort of proposals that will actually make a difference. You're right when you say it's about jobs, but
you said that, and most businesses you talk to realise that and want to pay into the local local council because they do see some of the services that they can avail of. But what they really want to see is something that's fair and something that's equitable. And at the moment, it's not. There's no relevance in terms of how well your business is doing. Like coming into a small rural area and say your business is valued at this, so we want commercial rates of that. It doesn't take any account of what your turnover is, and it doesn't take any account of what your profit is.
No, so I accept that. I accept that. But I'm just saying that is there any point in reducing rates or altering rates if people aren't shopping in the towns? Like I think the problem is far deeper than you say.
Well, it is a problem, but certainly if you can reduce one of their overheads substantially, I think that would be a benefit. Another big issue, and I suppose it may not be popular to say, but the increase in the minimum wage, that is having a huge impact on particularly in the retail sector, and people I'm sure is listening and say, so well he can say it on the income that he's on. But I don't think it's just people need a living wage, but I think what the government should be doing, instead of continuously jacking up the minimum wage, is what they should be doing is bringing down the cost of living, reducing people's mortgage expenditure, and then if needs be, like you have the family income supplement for families who are on a smaller income, there should be an income supplement for single people as well, because there are businesses out there, and I think of one particularly in Northwest Mead who is finding it extremely difficult to survive. He's in food production. A lot of his business is export to the UK, so he's having a double effect in terms of Brexit, and the profit margin is somewhere in the region of 5%. Okay. So these are things that we can, that the government can do to help reduce the challenges facing businesses in rural Ireland.
Okay, let me bring in my next guest, Owen Lowry. You're the agribusiness editor of the Farmers Journal, and you're from this area, you're from Laois, and you know a lot about these things. You sort of distill it down into five areas. We won't look at all five, but we're talking about Brexit and sterling, the effect that both are having, Owen, on rural Ireland. You might elaborate.
Well, I suppose in the Farmers Journal, I suppose we'd be very focused on the agri-food economy, yeah. Which is 25 billion to the national economy. You know, it's employing, there are 170,000 people on top of the 100,000 farmers. So it's absolutely critical to the rural economy in Ireland. What we've seen, I suppose, with Brexit in the last, over the last 12 to 18 months, has been the devaluation of sterling and the weakness of sterling. So that's having a major knock-on and a current impact on businesses. These businesses, you know, majority of agri-food companies, similar to the rest of the economy, are small to medium enterprises, yeah. Family-run companies who are employing people, but they're impacted directly from that weakness in the sterling. So that has a huge knock-on effect, you know, 20% that they cannot pass on to the retail partners or their customers.
Well, it effectively means their prices have gone up between 15 and 20%.
That's what should happen.
Yeah.
However, food is a little bit more unique in that it can't happen because, you know, you can't ask for that. It doesn't happen because the retailer
power is... Somebody else will supply
it
20% cheaper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And another, a further point of that is that the food industry is a low margin business operating at 2-3% margins. We've been here before in some ways in that we have seen sterling at the levels that we were currently seeing. However, since that time, companies have stripped out extra costs, additional costs. They've become leaner, they've become more efficient. Where does that extra 20% come out of now? It's just simply not there.
Yeah, and what sort of things are you proposing that might help food producers in that very scenario that you outlined there? What kind of things can we do to make sure that they don't get obliterated? Because some of them are going to be.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very, very challenging for them. I think when we talk to the agri-food businesses, what they're telling us, you know, roughly about 50% of all our food exports go to the UK market. What they're telling us is that they want that long transition period if a hard Brexit does exist. So I suppose it's very difficult. You know, currency is much more complex than one sector of the economy, and it's more external. I suppose what we're looking for in rural Ireland, really, and it's just I suppose in connection to what we've been just talking about, is you know, rural Ireland is not remote. It's far from remote. In fact, like, you know, I myself have lived and spent some time in Australia. That's remote.
Yeah.
You know, most people, I live 3 miles from a town. I live on the M7 corridor. I'm 45 minutes from Dublin. But yet, rural broadband is not available. So you can't actually access just what the needs are of a modern society.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's a good point. And I want to bring my next guest in. It's Louise Lennon. She's a policy and communications officer at Irish Rural Link. Owen mentioned it there, Louise, that rural Ireland is not rural Ireland. It's very accessible, yet we seem to have this two-tier economy. Can I ask you about maybe the fact that we're building so many one-off houses? In other words, that we're not giving the economies, the small towns, a chance to actually thrive, to actually survive. Because if we keep building one-off houses, we're just the people are they're travelling the extra 10 miles to go to the Lidl or Aldi and maybe bypassing the local town. Just like, surely the policy of allowing so many one-offs is not helping the situation.
Yeah, I suppose one-off houses, you know, you have to look at it as well. They're not sustainable either for the lifetime of the person who is building them.
Yeah.
They're, you know, and maybe, you know, there is something in policy that needs to be looked at about building maybe kind of more houses kind of around, like, and it's not big estates like was built in the boom time, but like in around villages and.
But if you talk about things like transportation, for instance, like if you have one-off houses, you're not going to ever get an effective bus route, you know, because it's not going to make sense for a bus to travel, you know, and just be picking up one passenger every mile or whatever it is. In the sense that you need a conurbation of houses. And again, I accept your point. You don't want to go back to a kind of a ghost estate mentality, building houses where nobody wants to live. But we do have small villages and towns that are crying out for people to live in them.
Yeah, and there are the incentives to kind of bring people back into living in the small village or the small town as well, to kind of do up old buildings or do up old houses to kind of relocate there and bring them back into the village and the small town. I suppose transport is a major issue, and the rural transport program, which is in existence now for the past over 10 years, 15 years, and that is seriously underfunded and can be the solution to a lot of issues. It has been rebranded as Local Link, and there's 17 Local Link units around the country, and it's actually been relaunched today as that by Minister Inglater.
Right, and what is that? What's different?
The buses are smaller, but it's more economical as well, bringing smaller buses, not bringing a big 52-seater bus to travel with four passengers so
it's more... It reflects the needs of the service, of people who use
and
the
it
service.
Can, and it needs to be included in an overall transport policy.
Okay.
And connecting it into the other transport, like the rail service, the bus air and bus service.
Now, my guests are Robert Troy, Fianna Fáil TD for Westmeath, Louise Lennon, Policy and Communications Officer with Irish Rural Link, and Owen Lowry, Agribusiness Editor with the Farmers Journal. And we're talking about rural Ireland. Robert, just the point there, like, there seems to be a thing that we don't really want to subsidise transport in rural parts of Ireland. Should we just bite the bullet on that and say that it costs X amount and just get on with it, rather than, you know, cutting routes and, like, the transport infrastructure doesn't seem to have kept pace with the demographic of the population.
Well, look, I think if we want to have a proper public transport system, an integrated public transport system, we're going to need to fund it, and that's without question. And unfortunately, over the last number of years, the funding has been seriously eroded from public transport, be it to Irish Rail, be it to Bus Éireann, and we saw the consequences of that earlier this year when we had a bus strike that lasted almost or over 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's something that has to be addressed, and we do need a national integrated public transport policy, a policy that will acknowledge that in some instances we have, I suppose, some areas served by train and by bus, and then we have other areas that are not served by any public transport whatsoever. Nice. And I think that's something that has to be looked at. And I think, you know, our previous speaker has made a valid point in relation to the whole area and what Irish Rural Link has done in relation to providing public transport in particular rural areas. And it does make sense to have smaller, more efficient buses going in where they're still providing the service and at the same time they're not it's not costing the state as much. But that's something that needs to be addressed. If I could just go back, with your permission, to a point you made in relation to people living in the rural towns and rural villages. I think... you know, if you one of our jobs is people come to you and are asking for advice in terms of how do you meet local need, how do you get planner permission to build in rural Ireland, and if you talk to anyone who's gone through the process, they say it's overly restrictive, it's too conservative, who's allowed to build in rural Ireland. But at the same time, you go into small villages now, and I think of so many in my own constituency, the amount of houses that are vacant, the amount of over businesses that are vacant, and that goes into towns too. And I think it's so stupid that local authorities, because the planning regulation stipulates, that to bring them back into use. They have to bring buildings of maybe 100 and 150 yeah. years into the modern standards. And at the same time, we have people who are languishing on housing lists, who are living in hotels and bed and breakfasts, who I think would quite willingly accept a house over a business. And it would help to bring life back into those businesses but, and
Robert,
in those towns and villages overnight.
You know, it sounds simple as you outline it there, but we just haven't seemed to have got the complexity of that scenario. We haven't got it. We haven't got it sorted out. And there's been talk and there's been task forces and there's been God knows what about it. And yet therein lies still lies the problem. All these vacant houses. And like nobody wants to live in a place where no one else is living. And like in the sense that, do you really want to live in a town that's half boarded up or that has no shop or no post office or no pub? Like we need to make these places attractive.
It's a chicken and egg situation too. Like I mean, unless we start getting people into those towns and villages, more people is going to move out, more businesses going to close, and they're going less attractive for people to live in.
Owen Larry.
Yeah, and I think this boils down to jobs. There has to be jobs in rural areas for these people. And go back to the agri-food sector. Like if you can attract and keep and maintain the companies that we do have in rural Ireland, they need to be supported in infrastructure terms, whether that's a broadband or connectivity on roads or you know, motorway network, but also supported in skilled workforce available to them. And it's not about sending people to colleges to get third level degrees. This is like the manufacturing companies that are in the agri-food sector are they need skilled labour in that are you know, fitters, welders, etc. And we have a vibrant industry
Let
here.
Me put that question, if I may, to Louise Lennon. Are we spending too much money as government with sending all these kids to college? And it seems to be now a divine right that you have to go to college. And yet, are we doing them a disservice because maybe there isn't going to be jobs for them all? Like, would that money be better, or some of that money at least, be better off channeled into supporting these manufacturing companies that are in, you know, more outlying areas of Ireland?
Yeah, and there should be, I think there is that kind of snobbery around apprenticeships and, you know, kind of lower paid jobs as well.
I'm not sure that's well founded because I think as an apprentice you potentially could earn a lot more.
You can earn
as somebody who does an arts degree.
Yeah, you definitely, and I'm witness to that. That you can earn a lot more, but I have a son in school now who's doing his leaving cert, and he does not like school, but there is an emphasis in schools as well on getting the high grades,
getting the high achievements.
So I think that needs to be brought in as well. That, you know, that encourage, you know, give them the options to go, you know, do apprenticeships, go into the lower, you know, the manufacturing.
And like apprenticeships don't necessarily have to be, like they can be in Google or they can be in financial services.
They're not,
it's not necessarily welding or bricklaying or whatever.
This is an economy that makes widgets and it sells those widgets out and exports them all around the world.
Yeah.
And it's been manufactured in rural parts of Ireland. It's happening today. And the biggest question or challenge that faces these companies is skilled labour.
Okay.
That's what they're all talking about.
Well, listen, I'm going to have to leave it there. It's a fascinating subject. It's one we will return to. I'd like to thank my guests, Robert Troy, Fianna Fáil TD for Mullingar, Westmeath, Louise Lennon, Policy and Communications Officer at Irish Rural Link, and Owen Lowry, Agribusiness Editor with the Farmers Journal. Thank you all very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Now it's back to the ploughing and there's loads of people banging on the windows here. It's raining. It's raining cats and dogs down here in Scraggan, but we're having a wonderful time. Stay tuned.
Down to business on Newstalk.
Sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas. Wherever you are.